Oh, and the Lord says, here in this place, here in this place of intimacy, I am longing for you to come again and again. Because it's in this place where I can share my heart and touch you. The way you've been asking me. So come back again and again and learn to rest in me. Come back and seek my face. Come and be with me. Learn to be still. Learn to be at peace in my presence. Learn to quiet yourself. And just stay, for I have much to say to you, much to say to you, but your minds are too busy to hear. But I am speaking, so just still yourself in my presence.
The Lord says, I am preparing you for deeper levels of my presence and revelation from my word. As I have said in my word, I will teach you doctrine, line upon line, and precept upon precept. I want you to know that with every line you reach, every line of understanding, you are prepared for the next level. You have received much, much teaching here in this place from many different vessels. And my word has been sown into you in such a way that you have been taken from one line and from one precept to another, to another, and to another. And all of this has been in preparation for where I want to take you in my word. For if my word is strong in you, then you will be strong in my word. My word has more power than you understand. My word is truth. But it requires understanding. And I am preparing you for more and more, deeper and deeper levels of understanding in my word. In the days to come, I am going to unlock sections of my word at a level to which you have not expected and did not know was there. It is in preparation for bringing about greater and greater spiritual stability in you so that I can use you in greater measure during these end times. There is more going on in this place than what you realize. There are very few churches who are at this level. But those of you who are not just hearing, but you are receiving, you are much further along in me than you realize. I am continuing to work, and I am continuing to prepare you so that as I begin to open up my word to you in ways that you have not yet seen, it will be a joy to your spirit. And you will have a deeper understanding and revelation of who I am, who you are in me, and what you can do. So receive this and continue to press into me. Continue to allow me to work this great work in you. For many, many wonderful things are coming. Do not give up your hope. Do not give up your well-doing. You are getting ready to reap in a great measure. So continue in this. Continue in your relationship with me, letting me strengthen it and take you to this place that I have longed to take you, for great will be your reward. This morning, the Lord reminded me to tell you that tonight I was going to be teaching on healing. It's going to be a brief study. In other words, this is not a series, just tonight. But I know that I'm going to be sharing enough in this to where if you'll receive it and do it, then you can expect change. If not, well, that's up to you. And there are people who should be here tonight to hear this. Then there are some people, because they're battling a physical something, they are not here tonight. In other words, the battle is at a level of intensity to where they're not here. And I understand that. You know, we've all been there, right? So tonight, we're just going to go through Scripture and take a look at this whole aspect of healing. Because as you know, there's been a lot of, you know, misteaching about it. Wrong. Bad doctrine. And I was raised to believe that, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. And that's how we prayed. Father, if it be thy will. And, you know, the thing is, we only prayed that because we really didn't know. I know now what is and is not his will. And the one thing I will say, in fact, you go ahead and turn over to Genesis chapter 1. We'll start there. The one thing I will say is this. Your physical condition does not confirm or deny what's in the Word of God. Now, you could be in the greatest health of any human on planet Earth, or you could be in a hospital room, what they say, you know, on your deathbed, or somewhere in between. It doesn't matter. Your physical condition does not confirm or deny the Word of God. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because you have a lot of Christians, they seem to have this idea, if healing is for today, then I'd be healed. They seem to have an idea that, well, if I'm not healed, then I don't know, you know, what's wrong here? You know, how come I'm not healed? Why am I not healed? Well, you're going to get some answers here tonight. The first thing we want to take a look at is what is God's will for the human body? And this is revealed in Genesis chapter 1. Well, it starts in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That phrase, very good, means a standard that meets God's expectations. And then we see in chapter 2, verse 7, that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, what we see then in Genesis chapter 1 is that, Genesis 1 and 2, when God created man, humanity, he did so in such a way that it met his standards. There was absolutely no imperfection in the human body. Now, this is critical to understand because generally we have no idea what that means. There were no imperfections, absolutely none. The human body was perfect in every way, shape, or form. However, something happened along the way. And that something is revealed in Genesis chapter 3. Well, we know the story in Genesis chapter 3. You know, the serpent, he's talking to Eve and says, hey, you know, you can eat this and you'll be like God, and so on and so forth. And so she eats and Adam eats. And man, that's it, because God had told them, in the day you eat thereof, you will die. So they esteemed the word of a false prophet over the word of God, and they ate. Well, God said, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. And we know that that death took place on a spiritual level. But if you look here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So basically, what God's talking about here is, you're going to die. Because that which was sustaining your physical life, now get this, that which was sustaining your physical life has died. And therefore, your physical life is on a downhill, I mean it is on its way out. And your physical body, every part of your physical being is going to reach a point where it's going to cease functioning, and when it does, the corruption is going to increase to the point to where your physical body becomes dust once again. Well, this was, I'm sure, a real shock to Adam and Eve. And for the rest of their lives, for Adam it was over 900 years, for the rest of their lives, life was miserable. Absolutely. They had to work the ground to have something to eat. There were no tools. They had to create tools. They didn't have a shovel. They didn't have a pick. They didn't have a plow. They didn't have anything. They had to create whatever they needed to work the ground. And then they had to work the ground. And you got to remember, for a while, it was only the two of them, Adam and Eve. That's it. Then they had kids, and then they had to train the kids how to do all this. But this, a deeper revelation of what happened is over in Romans chapter 5. I'll turn over there. Romans chapter 5. And here in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now in this, where he says, by one man sin entered into the world, well, that was Adam's rebellion in Genesis chapter 3. And where it says that sin entered into the world, this word world isn't simply talking about planet Earth. It literally is speaking of the sum total of all creation. And then he said, not only did sin enter into the world, but death was able to enter in through sin. And this word death, it's not simply physical death, or not simply spiritual death. It literally is the corruption of everything that has been created. And so, when Adam sinned, this death, this corruption, was passed on to everything. This is why metal rusts. This is why trees that are very healthy, eventually they're going to die. Some trees are hundreds and hundreds of years old, but eventually they'll die. This is why animals die. This is why people die. This is why there is sickness and disease. It's because the very, if you will, molecular structure of creation has been corrupted. This is why a baby can be born to healthy parents, but the baby has cancer. Where'd that come from? The parents don't smoke, the parents don't drink, but here's this situation. And this is where many Christians come up with, well, God's testing us. Well, God has a plan. Well, you never know what God's going to do. I beg to differ. I know very much about what God wants to do. And I can tell you where this sickness and this disease comes from. The point of origin is Genesis chapter 3. That's it. That is the point of origin for all sickness and all disease. Because the corruption exists in such a way to where the bodies are going to break down. This is why, you know, mom told you, bundle up. Make sure you got your hat on. You don't want to catch a cold. Well, nobody, you know, catches a cold. It's not like you're out hunting for it. But there's a virus, and it attaches itself to your body. Now, the body's pretty resilient, but it's not that resilient. And every now and then, you know, something attacks your body, and it's a fight. But this is the source of sickness and affliction. Genesis chapter 3. And so therefore, as Christians, we don't need to sit around and ask, well, I don't know how come this, and I don't know how come that, and boy, you know, I did everything I knew to do, but I still got sick. Well, okay, but it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. That is the source of all sickness. In other words, the point of origin, it started there. Now we have what we have today. So many of the sicknesses that we experience, these viruses, you know, the little bacteria and the germs and all that, okay, they were never supposed to be like that. They were supposed to be normal and conducive to being healthy. They got corrupted, and now they have mutated, and here they are. You know, people talk about cancer cells. I read a cancer study. And in this cancer study, I don't recall what clinic or hospital it was, but some of the researchers were in a storage area of this facility. And as they were going through the storage area, they noticed something on a shelf, and they went over and they pulled these little, like, Petri dishes. You know what a Petri dish is? Little bitty thing. Okay, they pulled these Petri dishes off, and it was labeled as being, you know, cancer cells. And so they checked it out, and this Petri dish was 50 years old, and the cancer cells were still alive. 50 years old. They were shocked. How can this be? Well, I can't answer that. But I can tell you where they came from. They went back to Genesis chapter 3. The corruption. And so now, we have this is why, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand, you know, how could I contract this disease? Genesis chapter 3. This answers the question. Where did it come from? Now, we can facilitate it. In other words, you know, here's lung cancer. out here. Well, nobody wants lung cancer. Okay, then here's a way to help prevent it. Stop smoking. That is, you don't have to go to college to learn that. All you have to do is pick up a pack of cigarettes. Smoking this stuff can kill you. It's like, oh, okay. Light up. Well, that is weird. So if you want to help prevent lung cancer, don't smoke. Don't smoke. If you want to help prevent like stomach problems and liver problems, okay, do not consume alcohol. Just don't. All but Brother Martin, everybody feels they're exempt. I'll smoke, I'll never get it until the day you get it. Then you sit back, why was I so stupid? Well, because you were stupid. I'm not trying to belittle it, but you knew. So, see, we can do certain things to facilitate. You know, I saw something here not too long ago. I think it took place over in some other country. Anyway, this lady, like the middle of the winter, it's below zero. It's cold. And she strips down into her undergarments and then runs and tries to jump in a lake and it's frozen. And like she breaks her leg and all kinds of... That is dumb. That's just plain weird. So we can facilitate a whole lot of problems. But even if you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't do anything bad, you still can have problems because of Genesis chapter 3. So that's the source, the point of origin for sickness and disease. Okay, what does our future hold as Christians? We'll look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, we shall not all die, but we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now he's talking about Christians here. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Right, what's he talking about? The corruptible, the mortal, and all that. He's talking about your physical body. And so our future, as far as last trump, when it's all said and done, our future is that we're going to have a perfect body. We're going to be back to Genesis chapter 1. It will be, as he says right here, incorruptible and immortal. You're going to have the body they talk about in the science fiction movies. You understand what I mean? You're going to have a physical body that is immortal. It is incorruptible. That means there won't be any sickness, ever. That means you're not going to have any physical affliction. You will have any physical infirmities. Nothing will be wrong with your body. Nothing. You're not going to have high cholesterol. You're not going to have a heart problem. You're not going to have, stomach aches. You're not going to have any of this. Immortal, incorruptible. You're going to be Superman. Superwoman. You understand what I mean by that? Okay, that is our future. But in between Genesis 3 and 1 Corinthians 15, we have a lot of living to do. And therein lies the problem. We can't go back and change Genesis chapter 3. Now, that is going to be changed in the future. We know that. But we cannot go back in time and beat Adam up so he doesn't eat, See, that's these movies about time travel. It's like, why don't you just go back to the Garden of Eden? Get in your time machine, go back in the Garden of Eden, and just run over there, tackle Adam, hog tie him, and slap him a little bit and just tell him, say, don't, God said, don't do that. Now, don't do it. Anyway, be a short movie, right? So, in between Genesis 3 and 1 Corinthians 15, that's where we're living. So then, what is God's provision for healing? Well, that's what we need to find out. Now, we're going to start in Psalm 107. You see, when you go back into the Old Testament and you start reading the law, you can see where God gave instructions for, let me kind of paraphrase it like this. Here's how you apply certain things for medicine and, you know, to try to facilitate healing, blah, blah, etc., and all that. But there are a lot of things that we can read, especially like in Psalms and other places, where it's speaking of healing, but it's not restricted to living under the law. It's the Word of God, well, really prophetically for us. So now, look here in Psalm chapter 107 and look in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now this word healed, it's talking about physical healing. God sent his word and healed them. Now I know some people would say, well, he's talking about those people that came out of Egypt. Okay, then are you telling me that God's word still doesn't work? I mean, isn't there a place in Scripture where God says, my word does not return void? It accomplishes what I send it forth to accomplish. So if he sent his word and healed them, is not the power of that word still, how do we say that, floating around in the atmosphere? Yes, it is. So he sent his word and healed them. You're a them. In other words, just put your own self in there. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destructions. In fact, be really specific. Been having ankle problems? He sent his word and healed my ankle and delivered my ankle from destructions. Gee whiz, Pastor, I never thought of it like that. Ah, we just learned something, didn't we? Now look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1. My son, forget not my law, and we could substitute word in there, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So if you got a sick belly button, now he's talking about the inner part of yourself, okay? But he says, don't forget. Don't forget my word. Don't forget my instructions. Don't forget my law, my commandments. Don't forget it. Let your heart keep them. In other words, you maintain an awareness of what I've said, because length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days and long life. There it is. And it's directly connected to his word. And he says, look, it'll be health to your navel and marrow to thy bones. Marrow to thy bones. See that? Now let that one sink in. Have you ever heard of anybody battling, let's just say, bone cancer? You ever heard of people needing a marrow transplant? Do you realize there's an answer right here? Absolutely, there is an answer. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now let me just interject this. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, from front to back, side to side, and everything in between. Health to your flesh. Do you see this? Health to your flesh. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. See that? Now, let me just interject this. That word health, it comes from the Hebrew word marpe, and it means healing. It means health. It means a remedy. It means the restoration, cure, or renewal from a sickness or an illness. That's what this means. And so he says, look, the tongue of the wise is health. He's telling you right here, if you speak his word, you are speaking healing to your body. Now this is God speaking. This is God telling. This is God revealing. This is God telling us right now. See, you have so many Christians who say things like, oh God, you know, heal me, heal me, heal me. And so many Christians say, I just don't know why God won't heal me. I just don't know why I haven't been healed. I just don't what you don't understand is that when you have that conversation with me, you're telling me volumes. You're telling me you either don't know the Word of God or you don't believe the Word of God. And generally, if it's a person that believes that healing's for today, it comes down to they really don't understand the Word of God. Because if people believe in healing, Christians, if they believe in healing, but then they start talking like they don't know why they aren't healed. You're telling me that in your head, you got a head full of preaching and teaching that says healing's for today, and so mentally you're in agreement with it, but when you start talking, your tongue does not line up with what God's tongue has already spoken. And so therefore, you're answering your own question, and you don't realize it. Well, turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Healing and death are in the power of the tongue. So what we're seeing so far is God making more than one specific reference to the power of his word and what we speak. The healing power of his word and what we say. Let that sink in. The healing power of his word and what we say, because he's already spoken it. So now, since he's already declared it, and he said, my word won't return void unto me, it accomplishes what I send it forth to accomplish. Then he turns right around and he says, look, the tongue of the wise ministers health to the human body. So now it's up to me. He's already done his part. He's already sent his word. Now it's up to me. I'm the one, you know, responsible to speak what he has spoken. You know, it just amazes me how many Christians, they just want to really criticize the whole aspect of confession. And yet, what we've covered tonight, just the few verses we've covered tonight, should settle that issue as to whether or not confession's real and whether or not it works. Now, look over in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, verse 4. And this is a prophecy about Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to read that passage to you. It's the Martin Amplified Version. Using the Hebrew definitions of some of these words. Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He hath used his own strength to perform the labor to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pains, and sorrows. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. What are you going to do with that? He's telling you right here that through Jesus Christ, we have access to healing for everything. We do not have access to immortality until we get to 1 Corinthians 15, the last trump. You see this? So what that means is, between now and 1 Corinthians 15, we can have a healed body, whatever it is we're fighting. We can have a healthy body. Now, granted, you know, you can't go around and just eat all kinds of junk food and just shove all kinds of, you know, garbage down your gullet and then, you know, go around thanking Jesus for your healing. I mean, you got to use some wisdom here, okay? You can't live on cherry pie and pizza. You know, leave the cherry pie out, praise God. Little dietary humor there. All right. But then you see a reference to this over what we read here in Isaiah, over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn over there. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And again, this phrase, were healed, this is speaking about a physical healing, not a spiritual restoration. Spiritual restoration is born again. This is talking about a physical healing of our body. Now look over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And here in Matthew chapter 7, just take a look beginning in verse, let's see here. I'll tell you what, Matthew chapter 8, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8. And begin reading in verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and bear our sicknesses. So here we see Jesus administering this dictate from God, which is, son, you do what's necessary to make healing available to them. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, just begin reading in verse 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So here we see another aspect of healing. And this time, it's healing that's ministered through people like you and me unto others. And it involves what he says here, laying hands on the sick. Okay, now look over in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, begin here in verse 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalm." Now stop for a moment in verse 13. That word afflicted, it's not really, well, I didn't write down the Greek word, but it's not a Greek word that is heavy on the aspect of physical sickness. It's more along the lines of problems that aren't necessarily a physical ailment. You know, do you feel like you're under the gun? Is there a lot of pressure? Just whatever. But he continues in verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Well, if so, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Okay, now, we have read verse after verse after verse after verse identifying from Scripture that God has made provision for our healing. Doesn't matter what physical something you're facing. God has made provision for our healing. Now, this being so, and all of this that we've seen revealing that God has made provision for our healing, how in the world can sickness be God's will? It's not. And you know, you're going to run into Christians, "Well, you know, God put this on me to teach me a lesson." No, he didn't. "Well, God laid me up in this hospital to teach me a lesson." No, he didn't. Now, he'll teach you, but it could be that once you're laid up there in the hospital and you don't have anywhere else to go for a few days, yeah, now he's got your attention. Now you're going to focus on him. But it's not like he wouldn't have taught you before you got in the hospital. Sickness is not his will. Not at all. I mean, you talk about being double-minded. Here, you know, God's saying, "Well, I'm going to make you sick to teach you something. Oh, and by the way, here's the provision for healing." It's like, wait a second. If you're making me sick to teach me something, then all this provision for healing stuff is probably not going to work. Because I'm in the midst of learning from you. See, that didn't even make sense. Sickness is not God's will. Remember, God's will for the human body is revealed back there in Genesis. Everything met his standard. There were no imperfections. Well, what happens for believers is we get caught up, too many Christians get caught up in, I got to find somebody who has a healing anointing so they can pray for me. Okay, where do you see that in Scripture? Well, it's right there. You know, call for the elders of the church. Well, it doesn't say they have a healing anointing. It says call for the elders of the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't say call for the healing anointed people. It says call for the elders of the church. Well, over there, you know, lay hands on the sick. Okay, fine. But you say you have to find somebody who has a healing anointing to pray for you before you can get healed. Okay? Then you're going to have people that are going to say something like, "Well, okay, I want you to pray for me, but do you have, here, I brought some oil. You can use my oil. This is healing oil." Well, how do you know it's healing oil? "Because I bought it at the Christian bookstore." What? Hey, should I say that? What's the difference between that and going to a church and splashing in some holy water? How'd that water get holy? You know where they got it from? A tap. Okay? And then somebody spoke some kind of blessing over it. I call you holy. Ooh, holy water, splish, splash. Now, don't get offended. There's nothing about that in the Word. And so you have a lot of Christians who have this idea, unless I get anointed with oil, I cannot be healed. Then you're going to have folks that, well, if I can't have someone lay hands on me, then I can't be healed. Or if I can't find somebody to stand in agreement with me, then I don't think I can be healed. Okay, what about all these verses we read about God sent His Word and the tongue of the wise ministers health? What about all that? See, we become so dependent. Turn over to John chapter 5. We get trained to be dependent on people. On, what kind of a good word to say? I don't want to use the word theatrics, but it's like we get trained by a lot of teaching. If there's no oil present, can't be healed. If nobody lays hands on you, too bad. You suffer. You got to have the elders from the church come in. And they've got to do this. And so we get this idea that I have to have those things before I can be healed. I have to find somebody to be in agreement with me for my healing. Well, look in John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Okay? Now, do you understand? You already have somebody in agreement with you. In fact, you've got three people in agreement with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who better? They're in agreement with you for your healing. But what we tend to do is we want to elevate things above the Word of God. God sent His Word and healed you. God's Word, you know, health to all your flesh. The tongue of the wise ministers health, ministers healing. So what if you can't find anybody to lay hands on you? I mean, what if you're like on a desert island somewhere? And then there are a lot of people who believe they can't be healed if they don't take communion. Well, what if you're someplace and you don't have access to communion? What if you're on that desert island and, you know, you can't reach the coconuts to use, you know, coconut milk for communion? And I'm kind of being silly here. The point I'm making is we have a tendency to place all those things above the Word of God. And all of those things are based on what's in the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? You wouldn't know about laying on hands if it weren't in the Bible. You wouldn't know about oil, anointing with oil, if it weren't in the Word. You wouldn't know about calling the elders if it weren't in the Word. You wouldn't know about communion and forsaking the body of the Lord Jesus and all that if it weren't in the Word. So see, all this goes back to the Word. So if I can find something in the Word that's going to help me to, say, experience a manifested healing in my body absent of all of those things, then I can apply what I find. And I have already found it. God sent His Word and healed me. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So if I don't have anybody else around me and nobody else wants to be in agreement with me and there's no oil, I mean, and none of this, I can still receive a manifestation of my healing. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit stand in agreement with me and the Word. So in that respect, look, manifested healing is a result of faith and a promise. It is not the result of some kind of special dispensation from God because you've been a good boy this week. Or, special favor because you've served God so faithfully, so now God is going to, you know, bring about your healing. No. No. Healing, the manifestation of healing, is a result of faith in a promise. A promise that God has made in His Word and repeated Himself more than once, that healing is for us. You know, I've heard these stories of people that, you know, they take their glasses and they stomp on them. I say in Jesus' name, my eyes are healed. They take their medication and flush it down the toilet. I say in Jesus' name, my, you know, gizzard is healed. Well, just because you do something like that does not force God to move. I mean, He's up there on His throne. He looks down and He sees you take your glasses off and throw them down. And you're stomping on them. He's like, oh, good heavens. I got to move. I got to go down there and heal them real fast. Or they're not going to be able to drive home. He'll let you walk. To teach you a lesson. Just because you do something like that. See, healing's not based, you know, faith without works is dead. You know what? If you had the kind of faith you think you have, you wouldn't have stomped on your glasses. And you wouldn't have flushed your medication. And another thing, as far as this healing is concerned, go ahead and study from Matthew all the way through in the New Testament. Just find me a place where Jesus or the apostles broke a curse over anybody before ministering healing. Some of you are really thinking about that one, aren't you? It's not in there. You can't find one single passage to where Jesus or the apostles were ministering to somebody and saying, okay, now before we get you healed, I break the curse of wama wama. You can't find that. They just ministered. But today you've got Christians, you know, you got to get that curse broken over you so your healing will manifest. Where's that in the Word? That's not in the Word. If you're hanging around people like that, don't be hanging around people like that. And I'm serious. Follow the pattern in Scripture. What's in there? You don't see the Jesus or the apostles asking anybody, are you a tither? Are you a giver? Before healing. They just ministered healing to people. I know of a situation one time, I hope this guy's changed this, but when he would pray for people in the prayer lines, he'd ask them, are you a tither? If they said no, he said, well, I'm not praying for you. I'm not laying hands on you because I'm not going to touch anything that's cursed. And then, oh, I'm serious. I'm not making that up.
No, I'm there.
I'm not. I have a witness. The apostles never did that. Jesus never did that. They ministered to people. They ministered healing. Now, that doesn't mean that's an excuse to go out and party hardy and then, you know, say, hey, come on, heal me, God. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. Not at all. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to go through all these, I don't know, whatever you want to call it before. There's not all this stuff. We complicate healing. You know, Jesus or the apostles, they never told anybody they had to go through deliverance sessions before they could be healed. They just healed people. They just healed them. And then the rest of it plays out. And so what happens, though, you have a lot of Christians, they hear so much of this other kind of teaching, that becomes a roadblock to their healing. Because in their mind, they may be saying, oh yeah, I see what the Word of God says, but I got to get this curse broken over me. But I got to have somebody lay hands on me. But I got to have oil anointing me. I got to have, and they start putting all these other things in front of what the Word of God has said. You don't need that. Now, having people pray for you is scriptural. We just read it. Being anointed with oil, it's scriptural. We just read it. Having people lay hands on you, it's scriptural. We just read it. But when people do all of those things, and the healing does not manifest instantaneously, then what you do after the prayers, after the oil, and after the hands is most important. Because if you walk away from the oil and from the hands and from the people praying for you, if you walk away from that and the healing has not manifested and you do nothing, then there's a good chance the healing's not going to manifest. Now, I'm not saying it can't, but I'm saying there's a good chance it's not going to manifest. What you have to do is continue to do what God said in His Word. Use your tongue and minister health to your flesh. Whatever you're battling, doesn't matter what it is. Well, I got a skin condition. Talk to it. Well, I've got a... Okay. All right, let me see if I can find this real quickly. Look back over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. And it says here in verse 14, you know, Jesus went to Peter's house. His wife's mother was laden, was sick of a fever. It says he touched her hand. The fever left her. But now look over in Luke chapter 4. This is the same situation. And in Luke chapter 4, take a look in verse, toward the end of the chapter, 39. And he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's, Peter's, house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Now look at this. And he stood over her, and what'd he do? What'd he do? He rebuked the fever. He talked to it, then he took her hand. She's healed. He rebuked the fever. Now, if this is the pattern in Scripture set for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you think that's what we need to be doing? How many more prayer lines, and then you walk away from the prayer line, and you don't do anything? You're still battling. And I've heard this so many times. I've prayed for people, and then the service is over, and they're exalting the sickness. I just prayed for you. And you guys have been around long enough, you know how I pray. I'll speak. I'll talk. I'll declare the Word of God. I pray over you in line with the will of God revealed in His Word. That's what I do. And then when people walk away and they're talking, they're exalting the problem. It's a mixture of anger and frustration in me. Why did you come up and have me do this? Because you sure don't get it. When you walk away, the thing that should be coming out of your mouth is, I'm healed. I thank you, Jesus, for my healing. And even if the symptoms, whatever it is you've been battling, you know, the warfare is still going on, the manifestation hasn't fully taken place yet. Guys, don't exalt the affliction. Don't exalt the sickness. Don't do it. Stop it. You want healing or not? If you want healing, declare it according to the Word of God. Turn your tongue into medicine. Speak it, speak it, speak it, and keep speaking it. One of the things that I speak over myself, I call my vision healed. I call my eyes healed. I talk to my eyes. I talk to my vision. And I thank God that He sent His Word and healed my eyes and healed my vision. And I don't need corrective lenses anymore. I'm tired of wearing glasses. Tired of it. And I'm fighting this battle. There are times when I take my glasses off and I'll just, you know, because like the nose piece gets a little sweaty or something. And I just say, you know, Father, I thank you so much. My eyes being healed. I don't need these glasses. Eyes, do you hear me? In the name of Jesus, you're healed. You don't need corrective lenses. I see perfectly. I can read the clock on the back wall. I can see everything I need to see. I don't need glasses anymore. Well, then why do you put them back on? Because I'm driving home. So you either give me a head start or you take off before me. Putting these glasses on isn't a denial or standing in agreement of my healing. It enables me to function somewhat normally. until the manifestation. And other things that you know, my body, that I don't like about my body. Hey, don't eat whatever you want and then start trying to curse the fat cells, all right? Just don't do it, man. Doesn't work.
Fat, you go away in the name of Jesus.
You know, the angels, they laugh at stuff like that. You fat. Talk to it. You say, oh, I tell you what. It's like, every time I sit down, boy, my knees. Okay, every time you sit down, talk to your knees. And every time I stand up, oh boy, my knees. Talk to them every time. Every time. Now, I'm serious about this. This isn't just a bunch of rhetoric. You're in a war. You're in a war with affliction. And God has said, I made provision for this. Talk to your... Rebuke it. Just as Jesus rebuked that fever in Peter's mother-in-law. You know, whatever the issue you're going with. You know, knee, ankle, you know, tummy. I mean, whatever it is. I rebuke you, affliction, in the name of Jesus. Healing power in me. You know what the healing power in you is? It's the life of God. God life, that's why you can receive healing without people laying hands on you. Now again, don't think I'm saying it's wrong to have people pray for you, lay hands on you, or anoint you with oil. I'm not saying that. Those things are scriptural, and it's okay. But how long does it take somebody to pray for you? Maybe 60 seconds? What about the rest of the 24 hours? Speak, talk, confess, declare. What do you want in your body? What are you battling? When you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, whatever it is, keep every time, like, ooh, boy, there it is. Ooh, don't say it. You're about to say there it is again. Don't say it. Catch yourself. No, you're healed in Jesus' name. No, you're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed. Father, I thank you for my manifested healing. Elbow, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is you're going through. And I know it sounds like I'm being repetitive, because I am being repetitive. I'm trying to emphasize this. You have the power to see yourself get healed, and it's in you now. Healing power is in you now. Fight this battle. You say, well, I got a question for you though, Pastor Jim. What's that? What if it never manifests? Well, you know what? Listen, all right, what if? Then you go to your grave fighting. You go to your grave fighting. Look over. We're going to close with this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to use this verse as an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Apostle Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now he's speaking about, I am not going to let my body commit sin. However, notice this. He's identifying the fact that he, the born-again spirit, Paul, has authority over his body. See that? That means every one of us in here as Christians, we have authority over our body. This body is a vehicle we use to maneuver around in this natural world. And the day is coming, we leave the body. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so this body is under our domain. And it is to be brought into subjection to us. And that would include healing. Now the one thing you're not going to be able to do, when you're 90 years old, you're not going to be able to confess your body to be the body of a 20-year-old. Because it's not immortal yet. It's still corruptible. But you can still be as healthy as possible for a 90-year-old, for a 100-year-old, whatever it is. I mean, I don't mean to sound morbid, but guys, the clock is ticking for every one of us. And whether we make it to 100 or 120 or 150, whatever it is, I mean, the day's coming, the body's going to say, dude, I cannot take this anymore. And the body's, it's just going to say, look, you just go on and be with Jesus, I'm going to rot. I'm going back to dust. But between now and then, we can be healthy. And it's not only about diet and exercise, it's also about using our tongue to declare our healing. Do not come into agreement with affliction. Stand in agreement with the Word of God constantly. Yeah, well, I've got 4011 things going on in my body. Well, then confess 4011 healings. Declare it. Declare it, praise God. Just like, you know, I look out here, and a bunch of you out here, you're wearing glasses or contacts. I mean, if that's how you want to live the rest of your life, have at it. Seriously. I'm not going to be offended. But if you don't want to do that, be talking to your eyes. And, you know, a bunch of you out here, maybe you're taking medicine for whatever. Well, if you want to keep taking the medicine, that's okay. It's up to you. But if you don't, then talk to whatever's going on that is requiring the medicine. Because when God said that His Word is health to all our flesh, that is the sum total of the physical being of a human. All our flesh. Glory to God. By Jesus' stripes we were healed. Glory to God. Please stand. Guys, right now, if you want to see healing manifest in your body, you know how Jesus went around and ministered to people? And there were people He laid hands on? You can close your eyes and you can just, I mean, if you want to, you can actually take your own hands and put your hands on yourself and just in your mind, just imagine this is Jesus putting His hands on me. I mean, when it says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, I mean, you got hands. And if you're battling something, why not use your own hands on you? Whatever it is, and call yourself healed. Call yourself healed. Believe for it. You don't have to have all the other stuff. You can be healed right where you are. You can have that healing manifest. You can give God the praise and the glory for it now, and between this moment and the time you walk out this door, healing could manifest. We've had people, healing has manifested here during praise and worship. And nobody prayed for anybody, but healing manifested. Praise God for that. It's real for us, guys. Part of the problem that as Christians, we have become accustomed to affliction and infirmity, and we accept it as the normal way of living in this world. Well, the mortal, corruptible human body, that's normal till 1 Corinthians 15. But healing is also normal. Healing is normal. Praise God.